Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. That was so perfect. I'm so glad to see you all here. Thank you for, putting yourself out there and saying, I want to learn about boundaries. I'm very passionate about this topic. You'll probably hear that as I get into it. And I want to start first. If you're feeling like maybe you're like, I ran around camp looking for this room, or I was just debating between this one and that one, if you're kind of still feeling like your heart's racing and you're stressed out, I encourage you to just take a moment to take a nice deep breath and let it out slowly and just let yourself arrive here. Because your body is here, but maybe your heart and mind haven't quite caught up with you. And there's so much going on at camp. It's great. There's so many wonderful things, but sometimes it can feel a little overwhelming. So I just give you permission to take time to relax, to zone out for a bit if you need to. And also before I get started, I also like to give you all permission to ask questions, to make comments. I also give you complete permission to disagree with me. And I would so much rather, this is true when I teach and in my individual therapy, I would so much rather a student or a client say, you know, Ariana, I just don't buy that. I don't see how that could be true, than to just inside say like, well, this lady doesn't know what she's talking about, but I'm not gonna bring it up, and then just shut down for the rest of the class or the session. So if I'm saying something that you're just like, I don't get that, or I don't see how that works, I would so much rather you raise your hand and just ask about it or share your opinion, because then that shows me like, oh, maybe I need to explain that in a different way or more thoroughly. So I fully invite you to share your thoughts. And also to ask questions. I will say a lot of times people will ask very specific questions, but in a very indirect way. And so, of course, bring your questions from your life. I may not be able to answer it as well as I would if we were one-on-one, but please do. I also want to set kind of we're talking about boundaries, so I'll set a boundary of, if you do choose to ask questions about your life or share things about your life, if you want to share about something that involves a person that you have come here with, like your spouse, maybe check it out with them first. And we laugh, but this happened this summer. And the husband shared something that had just happened, and his wife did not look happy. So I was like, well, can I ask, how do you feel about him sharing that? And she's like, I'm very embarrassed right now. And I was like, and that was kind of a boundary violation. So of course, share your real life. But if you want to share something that includes someone who also is here with you, and let's not put each other on the spot here. That's not what we want to do. So permission to share, permission to ask questions, and permission to not fully agree with me. That is okay with me. That's not what I'm not here to make you agree with me. I'm here to help you maybe learn some things that'll help your life. So when I say the word boundaries, what are some words or thoughts that come into your minds? You can just shout them out.
No.
What was that?
Limits,
okay.
Rules.
Fences, safety. Whoa, look at you guys go. What else?
Resistance.
Absence of grace. Absence of grace. Ooh, thank you for being honest and sharing that one. Yeah. Absence of grace, resistance. What else? Anything else?
Overcommitted.
Okay. That resonated with some of you. Anything else?
Protection.
Okay.
Unclear.
You guys are, this is going to be a good group. I can already tell. All right. Well, thank you for sharing. I like to just ask that to kind of get a sense of the room. Like some people might feel like I'm really not comfortable with boundaries, or I don't necessarily see them as a good thing yet. And then some people might be like, I know they're a good thing, I just don't know how to do it yet. And some people might, like me, who want to preach the gospel of boundaries and are like, they're wonderful. So it's okay, be wherever you are. That is allowed. I just put up these quotes to start. This is one of my favorite quotes on boundaries. When we fail to set boundaries and hold people accountable, we feel used and mistreated. And Brené Brown is this amazing researcher. She's pretty popular nowadays. I will reference her later because she has done great work that talks about how boundaries actually do make us more compassionate and more empathetic. So I will be referencing that. So today we're talking about what do we mean when we say boundaries? Because sometimes I say that word, and as many people are in here, there may be as many different interpretations of what that means. So we're going to define what do we mean when we say boundaries, and then talk about, well, what are some common issues that people have with setting them? What are common pitfalls that we can fall into? So that's where we're going today. So very simply, a boundary distinguishes one thing from another. Someone said fences, and that's a great analogy, because homeowners, like, if you own a home, how do you know where your property ends and your neighbor's begins? There might be a couple different ways, but a lot of times you'll have a fence, right? Sometimes you won't. Maybe it's kind of more open, but you generally have an idea, like, right about here is where my property line ends. And so that distinguishes, this is my space, this is my property, and that's your property. You know, even our skin is a boundary. It keeps, you know, one, it keeps everything together, but it says, okay, this is physically, this is me, and that is you. Where you distinguish one thing from another. Another way of thinking of a boundary is what is and what is not okay with you. And everyone's going to have a different idea of what they're okay with and what they're not okay with. But boundaries can be that. Someone said rules. So rules are stating what is and what is not okay, right? Like, you know, no hitting, no running, no screaming. You know, those are rules. That's saying what you're not okay with, right? Or what an organization is not okay with. So yes, those are boundaries as well. Boundaries are a way of having respect for ourselves and for others. And this is, this might be a place where that doesn't quite feel right to some of you, and that's okay. I hope that by the end of today, or if you do come again tomorrow, by the end of tomorrow, you can see how boundaries are respectful and loving. But it's saying I respect and care about myself enough to not just give everything to everyone, but I also respect them enough to not just go along with whatever they want me to do, or I respect them enough to hear when they're saying no. So there's a lot of respect with boundaries. It's also taking responsibility for your life and letting others take responsibility for theirs. So when we have boundaries, we're saying, you know, I am ultimately responsible for the choices I make and what happens in my life. And of course, there are things that happen in our lives that are totally outside of our control. But in terms of my decisions, that's fully my responsibility. And for you, whatever you choose, you know, the outcomes of that, that's your responsibility. A lot of times it gets muddled what is and what is not our responsibility. So we'll talk about that a little more too. This is directly from the book. They talk about that good boundaries keep the good in and the bad out. And sometimes people let the good and the bad in. Sometimes people are so rigid that they keep the good and bad out. But good boundaries keep the good in and the bad out. And boundaries are also supposed to be flexible and fluid. You don't put them, you know, you don't build this brick wall that's impenetrable that's going to stay there forever. A good analogy is that it's a fence with a gate that opens and closes. You can lock it sometimes if you want to, but you can unlock it. So boundaries are not something that you set in place and they're there forever. They do need to move. They can be flexible. If they're too rigid, that can be bad. If they're too open, that can be bad or unhelpful. So also to get biblical, You know, boundaries are letting your yes be yes and your no be no. How many times have you said yes to something, but in your heart you were like, no? No one, just me? Okay, yeah. I know, it's not just me. So, yeah, it's saying yes when we really do mean yes, and when we really are going to do something, and when we know, hey, that's really not my passion, I really actually don't have time for that, or I'm not really comfortable with that, saying no. So it's being authentic, it's being honest. So letting your yes be yes and your no be no. And this also might mean saying no to good things so that you can focus on the more important good things. So sometimes our boundaries, it's not just all saying no to bad things. Sometimes we do have to say no to good things. And I'll also talk more about that. So what they are not is, boundaries are not division. I think a lot of times when you think of offense, you're like, but that's division. But the way that I think about boundaries is sometimes it feels like division. Sometimes there's a temporary separation or some form of separation for the sake of greater closeness. I don't know if you've ever had housemates. Maybe those of you who are married, before you got married, maybe you had roommates or housemates. I know for me in my experience, the housemates where we knew this is your stuff, this is my stuff, you know, we had a much better relationship when that wasn't clear. And they were like eating my food, or I was eating their food, or they were leaving their clothes on my side of the room. You know, we didn't like each other as much. So yeah, there was some division, but it was for that greater closeness, and so that we didn't have to get into arguments about stupid things like you ate my cereal, or you left your dirty clothes next to my bed instead of yours. So it can feel like that, though, and I do understand that. Boundaries are also not selfish, and this can be a very tricky one as well. But like that Brené Brown quote, actually boundaries, like I said, they can be the most loving thing because one, when we take care of ourselves and put boundaries around our time and our energy that we have to give, we are more able to give where we are giving. If I am just expending energy everywhere, I'm not going to be as effective where I am. The people who matter most to me might get the bottom of the barrel. And so when I take care of myself, and as a therapist, I take care of myself so that I can be a better therapist to my clients, or I take care of myself so I can be a better daughter to my father, or a better friend, a better girlfriend, whatever roles I have. I take care of myself because I know if I am at full capacity, my tank is full, I am going to be more available to people, more present with people, more loving. And so in that way, it's not selfish. And sometimes that means I have to say no to things so that I can take care of myself so I can be more giving. Boundaries are not an ultimatum or a way to manipulate or punish others. Sometimes people use boundaries like a bad word, and they use it as a weapon where, you know, they'll use it as an excuse to get out of something. Like, well, that's just my boundary, and you can't, like, as soon as they say the word boundary, you're not allowed to challenge them. No, like, boundaries are not there to get people to do what you want them to do. You know, you can't say, well, if you do that, then I'm going to do this. No, that's not what they are. Sometimes boundaries do include letting people experience natural consequences, but they are not to be used in that manipulative way. And I'm sure that some people do that, but that is not boundaries at their heart. That is not what they are about. Again, because it's about letting people be responsible for themselves and us being responsible for ourselves. So if we're doing that, we don't need to manipulate people to get what we want, because we're taking responsibility for ourselves. And like I said, boundaries, they're not an impenetrable brick wall. Again, in your mind, cross out that brick wall, put in that lovely fence with the gate that opens and closes. That is what they are. excuse me. And like I said, people can sometimes swing to extremes. People might go to not having any boundaries and, like that quote said, feeling used and mistreated, and then when they realize why they feel used and mistreated and how they haven't had boundaries, and they start learning how to set boundaries. They might swing to the opposite end of the spectrum where they just say no to everything, and where they're completely shut down and closed off. And we don't want to be there either. And I know for myself, I swung maybe not to that extreme, but a little further than I think was helpful when I first started learning to set boundaries. And I've seen friends do that to where they wouldn't even respond to like any calls or texts. And that's not, we don't want to be so open where we're saying yes to everything, and we don't want to be so shut off where we're saying no to everything. Neither of those is good for us. Also, when we think about responsibility, there's a difference between being responsible for someone and being responsible to someone. So all of us have responsibilities to certain people. You have a responsibility to your spouse to be faithful, to be, you know, there for them. You are not responsible for them. So if your spouse chooses to do something that is not super great, that is not your responsibility. You're not responsible for their actions or for, this might be like, what? You're also not responsible for their feelings. You're responsible for your actions that may have contributed to those feelings. But ultimately, we are all responsible for our own feelings, which we'll get into that a little more tomorrow. But a lot of times when I say that, people are like, what? Because we're so used to saying, well, he made me mad, right? No, he didn't make you mad. He did something, and the way you're thinking about it is causing you to become angry. Again, we need to take responsibility, because sometimes, I get so excited, I'm already getting ahead of myself. I'm like, this is for tomorrow, but I want to talk about it now. Whatever, I'll just talk about it now. Sometimes, the same event can happen to two different people, and they'll have completely different feelings about it. And a lot of times that's because it's not what happens to us, it's what we believe about what happened to us. So again, if your wife doesn't wash her dishes after breakfast in the morning, if you're like, oh, she must have been really short on time, and she didn't have time to do them, like, okay, like, I'll just do them for her because I love her. But if you think, she didn't do her dishes, she doesn't care about me, she's a slob, she doesn't care about her home, can you see how exact same situation, but the way you think about it totally changes your feelings? So again, and a lot of times, our beliefs about things are not always accurate. And that's one reason why it's very important we take responsibility for our feelings. And we'll talk more about feelings and how they're related to boundaries tomorrow. So that's your little teaser. That's all I'm going to say about that for now, though. You got to come back. All right. So that's what boundaries are and what they are not. And again, you may not be convinced that they're not division, that they're not selfish. And that's okay, because we're going to flesh that out a little more. And boundaries, they come up in lots of different areas of our lives. They come up in our relationships, how we use our time, how we treat ourselves, and how we treat others. And we can set them for ourselves, for others, and for ourselves with others. So there's different ways this plays out. Like some examples might be, if you decide I need to take better care of myself, I need to be in bed by 11 p.m. every night at the latest, because I have been staying up way too late, I'm tired in the morning, and then it's just not good. So giving yourself a set bedtime, that's a boundary that you're setting for yourself, right? And also it might be limiting different activities that you're doing. For those of us who are a part of a local church, wherever we're from, you know, the church is always gonna have needs, right? And serving in our churches is very important, and I'm a worship leader, and I I volunteer to lead worship at my church once or twice a month, and I love it. And there was a time when I was doing way too much, and I wasn't loving it as much. And because I had all these other things, if I didn't have a job, I'd be like, sure, I'll do it every week. But I do have a job, and I have other things I'm doing. So you might say, you know, I love kids ministry, or I love musical worship, or I love this, but I'm just going to serve once or twice a month on this team on Sundays. You know, so you might say that because you're a busy person and you can't do everything. One that you might be like, well, duh, but just think about it. Another boundary is not letting your kid run out in the street, you know? And I don't think anyone would say that that's unkind, right? Like, if I saw a mom watch her child run out into traffic, I would be very concerned. I would be like, what is the relationship between them like? Or is this mother, like, fit to be, like, a caregiver right now? Like, you know, and of course there's, you turn your back and your kid shoots off and you don't notice, but if you saw your kid running out into a busy street, you might tackle them. I don't know. and the motivation is to keep them safe, right? And so that is a boundary. But I don't think anyone would argue with, like, but you're trying to control them, you're getting in their way. It's like, well, yeah, I am trying to control them so they don't die. So that's a very extreme example, but maybe to start thinking about, yeah, so that's a very clear example where boundaries and saying no is the most loving thing and the most safe thing. So I also like to talk about an apologetic for boundaries, because as Christians, sometimes, like I said in my introduction, we maybe grow up in families or churches where we receive the message that it's not loving or godly to say no to things. You know, there's verses like, consider others more highly than yourself, bear one another's burdens. And I think that's truth. I have a very high view of Scripture, and I submit myself to it. I believe it is the Word of God. And I also think that sometimes we don't interpret things in the most correct ways. And so I want to share some things from Scripture with you that help me to know, oh, this is actually okay. And I've had so many clients where they're talking about an issue with a family member or someone, and I say, well, what would it be like if you just said no? Or you didn't, you know, do whatever they asked you to do. And they're like, but I want to love them the way Jesus would love them. I'm like, so that leads me to believe that you think Jesus doesn't say no. Interesting. Let's look at the Gospels. So if you have read the Gospels, it's pretty obvious that Jesus was not a people pleaser. If he was, he wouldn't have ended up on the cross. Thank God that he did. So Jesus left towns when people asked him to stay. When he was starting his ministry and traveling and healing and teaching, you know, people were like, this is amazing. He's healing all of our diseases and this is great. Like, we want to keep him. Like, he's awesome. But he knew that he had a bigger purpose. And if he was like, oh, but I don't want to be mean and these people need me and I don't want to leave them, again, he never would have gotten to the cross. He never would have fulfilled his ultimate purpose. And so he said no because he had his priorities straight. He had his bigger purpose in mind. And I'm sure those people were disappointed. I'm sure some of them were really upset that he left, maybe even felt abandoned. He also left towns if people weren't open to his message or to what he wanted to do there. In Matthew 13, it says, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So he didn't shake them and say, you need to believe me. You know, he let them take responsibility for themselves. He presented the truth, and they could choose whether they wanted to accept that or not. Also, I love all the instances where everyone's looking for Jesus, and he's off in a quiet place praying. In Luke 5, it says, now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. So there was never an end to the need, you know? He could have just stood there and healed people 24/7, and more people would probably keep coming. But he knew that the Father was his source. He needed to get back with the Father and recharge. And to let the Father be his, you know, his strength. And so that's Jesus. And he definitely let his disciples know what he was okay with and what he was not okay with. And he let the Pharisees know what he was okay with and not okay with. You know, that time when he calls Peter, he says, "Get behind me, Satan," to Peter. Like, that's pretty intense. He's letting him know, like, no, you are not thinking about things correctly. I'm correcting you. Which, again, probably felt kind of mean. I wouldn't be stoked if someone called me Satan. And then God, you know, even in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, God defines himself as separate and distinct from others. The word holy simply means set apart. And how often does God talk about his own holiness, and then when talking about Israel, saying, "Be holy, for I am holy." You are going to be a people set apart from the rest of the nations. You're going to be different. So that's a boundary. That's a defining line. And this is from the book Boundaries, so I'm stealing it from Cloud and Townsend. But talking about God, they say, he defines and takes responsibility for his personality by telling us what he thinks, feels, plans, allows, will not allow, likes, and dislikes. And there's a lot of that throughout the Old Testament. And the Ten Commandments, those are boundaries. And again, someone said the word rules. And so often, I went to UC Santa Cruz for my undergrad, very liberal. I live in this very liberal town. And there's a lot of people who have baggage from the church and Christianity. And in my conversations, so many people have said, well, Christianity just seems like a bunch of rules. And it breaks my heart. Because I don't think that's how it's supposed to be. But again, when I look at the rules, think about the Ten Commandments. Those were given to Israel when they had just gotten out of captivity. All those people had never known a life outside from Egyptian culture in captivity. And then they're out in the world. Can you imagine how scary that would be? And how you're just like, I don't even know how to be in the world. And so God saying, I know that this is all very new to you, and you've been living in Egypt, which is a culture that doesn't acknowledge me as the one true God, so I'm going to show you how to live and let me be the one true God in your life. When you look at it from that perspective, it brings tears to my eyes that God loves us so much that he doesn't just leave us on our own to figure it out. And that's the same as parents. Like, it is your job as a parent to help your child understand what's okay and what's not okay in this world, you know? And if you see kids who haven't been taught that, it's a little challenging and it's a little distressing. But children they actually do love boundaries, even though they'll say, I hate you, and, you know? But when children don't get boundaries, the effects are so detrimental. And so, with God, he gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments because he loved them, and he wanted them to know how to live their lives. He wanted to give them the roadmap to live their best lives. And he also, he told them the consequences of their behaviors, and he followed through on those. There's a whole section in Deuteronomy 11, and like the heading is blessings and curses. And he's saying, if you do these things, if you walk with me, blah, 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 you will be blessed. All these good things will come to you. If you do not, if you turn away from me, if you worship other gods, then, you know, it's not going to go so well for you. So he let them know, like, this is going to be the best thing for you. And then, you know, he did hold true to his boundary. You know, Israel didn't always have it easy. They were they're in exile for years. And of course, God was very gracious, and that was after centuries of sending prophets and trying to get them to change. But ultimately, he did hold his boundary. God has also set boundaries for relationships. So in Genesis, it talks about man must leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. So God has said, you know, this is a boundary for relationships as you grow up. It is good and natural for you to go start your own family and for those relationships and roles to kind of shift. And that's from God. That is from the Bible. So those are some examples from Scripture. I also, you were talking about Mary Harrower, who she and her husband have been here for years, and she's a mentor of mine. And she taught me that there's a passage in Ephesians that talks about, it says, bear one another's burdens, and it goes on. And then at the end of the verse, it says, each man should carry his own load. And she taught me that, you know, those words, burden and load, those are two different words. And burden, in that context, is, you know, something that's an overwhelming life circumstance. Like maybe a family member becomes ill, maybe someone gets in an accident, maybe, you know, something big and out of your control happens. And so that's the situation where, as believers, we're supposed to bear that burden with our brothers and sisters. But that word load, and everyone should bear his own load, that's referring to the daily life responsibilities. And tomorrow we'll talk more about how do you set boundaries, and one of those is to ask yourself, what is my responsibility and what is not? So even biblically, thinking, well, is this a problem that is, you know, it was totally out of their control, you know, and it is too much for them to handle, and it would be appropriate for me to go and help? Or is this, you know, where they're not taking responsibility for their life and not taking care of their own day-to-day responsibilities, and where it might be actually better for me to step back and let them learn and grow and how to do that? So again, just looking a little more deeply at those scriptures, and yeah, we are called to help each other. And I had a friend who was in a really bad car accident, and she got a traumatic brain injury, and she also had PTSD because that was a life-threatening event. It was really scary. And so she had therapy for her trauma, but it was over in San Jose, which if you know anything about Highway 17 between here and San Jose, I call it the death trap. Like, I don't say that to scare any of you if you have to go back over there to go home. But I mean, I commuted over it for 5 years and I'm fine. But it's windy, it's, you know, it's not just an easy road to drive on. And there were a couple weeks where she felt so overwhelmed with all these other things happening in her life. That she's like, yeah, I might just take an Uber over there, or ask my friend if they can take me. And I had time. I wasn't working at the time. I had like a month off. So I said, hey, I can drive you. And I did it because I wanted to. I had the space in my life. And this wasn't just her like slacking off or not taking responsibility for her life. This was something that was bigger than her. And so I felt more than happy to do that for her. So that's an example of a burden that someone might have. So I talked about how boundaries aren't selfish, and some of you might still be skeptical. So I wanna ask, how do you feel when someone asks you to do something that you really don't wanna do, but you feel obligated to say yes, so you say yes? Just think, how do you feel when you're in that kind of situation? If you want to share it, bitter, frustrated, anything?
Overwhelmed.
Weighted down. Oh, yeah, I feel that. Anything else?
Irritated.
Unloving. Yeah, you probably don't have the most loving thoughts towards that person, right? So if I'm saying yes to the things that I really don't want to do and I actually really don't have the space in my life to do, and I'm feeling frustrated, irritated, overwhelmed, weighed down, you know, how loving and Christ-like am I going to be towards that person? Maybe outwardly, right? Okay, so you guys see what I'm getting at? Yeah. So on the outside, we might be like, oh, wow, she is so spiritual and such a servant. But on the inside, my heart is black and not loving. And that is not what God wants for us. So having boundaries actually leads to being more compassionate and caring towards others. And I love the picture of giving from a full cup. And sometimes when I pray, I'll pray like, God, please fill my cup. I'm empty, I'm dry, and you are my source. You are my strength. And I actually imagine like this cup in my chest, like filling and overflowing. So when we're, again, when we're giving and giving and giving to the point where we have nothing left, a lot of times we will feel resentful, we'll feel overwhelmed, we're not going to be giving our best selves to anyone. And that's why I don't see it as selfish, because if I know, well, if I say yes to this, how am I going to feel towards this person? And if it's going to be resentful, I'm like, that's not good for them or for me. And so sometimes for the sake of a relationship, it is better to say no. and you do it kindly. And I started telling people, because also maybe you have felt bad for asking something from someone, and it's always okay to ask. There's nothing wrong with asking, because again, people will be like, I'm so sorry, but would you be available to do this? I'm so sorry. And I'm like, why are you? It's not like you're putting a gun to my head and forcing me. But again, it's this whole idea that they're not clear on I'm responsible for my own decisions. Just because they ask me doesn't mean I have to say yes, but because we'll feel obligated, we will. Again, we're not taking responsibility for ourselves. But if people know that you're the kind of person who will say yes when you really mean it and no when you really mean it, it's a lot more comfortable. I don't know if you have people in your life like that. And then I have friends who ask me, and they're like, but I know you'll say no if you don't want to do this, so that's why I'm asking. I'm like, great, I'm so glad that you know that about me. So I always tell people, you have the right to ask, I have the right to say no, and vice versa. I have the right to ask, you have the right to say no. There's also the metaphor of the oxygen mask. So, you know, when you're flying on the plane and they're doing the whole safety briefing, and they always say, if you're traveling with a small child or someone who needs assistance, please put on your oxygen mask first, then assist them. Why do they tell us to do that? So you don't pass out, right? Because you can't help anyone else if you're unconscious, right? Yeah, same idea. And it's, would you look at someone and be like, wow, that's really selfish that they're putting their oxygen mask on first, then helping the child? Like, no, it's not because they're like, I don't care about you, child, or I don't care about you, person who needs help. No, it's like, I need to make sure I don't pass out so that I can help you. Same idea with boundaries. If we don't take care of ourselves first, if I am exhausted, I am not the best therapist. If I'm exhausted, I'm not the most patient girlfriend or daughter or friend. When I feel, that I've been taking good care of myself, I can sit with people in their hard places, and that's what I feel called to do. So that's why I do not see it as selfish. And I've kind of touched on this, but another way of describing boundaries is what is your responsibility and what is not, and we'll talk more tomorrow about how to distinguish it, because it's not always obvious. It's not always cut and dry, and sometimes a whole session with a client will be devoted to identifying, what is your responsibility, what's not, what's an appropriate boundary, what might be too much, because it's not always straightforward. And this is from the book, and this is kind of a mantra I have in my head a lot that helps me. But they say that poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. And a lot of times people, maybe they're last minute, maybe they're not the most organized, maybe they're not the most responsible, but they have the responsible people in their lives that they know that if they don't get it done, they can run to them and say, I need help, can you please do this? Oh my gosh, it's just so much. And you do it because, you're so godly and loving and you're so organized, even though you said yes to 20,000 other things. And they don't change because they know they can just keep coming to you and that you'll clean up their mess for them. So again, that's actually not the most loving thing for them because you're allowing them to stay in this unhelpful way of being. The technical term for that is an enabler, which that's a word that gets thrown around so much now. But you're basically enabling someone to continue a negative pattern. So I just said a lot, and I do want to get through four different types of boundary problems in a relatively short amount of time. But I definitely see nodding and some looks. So I just want to hear, are there any questions about anything I've said so far, or any things that you're like, I'm still not quite seeing that. Anything that I could explain a little better? Yes?
I don't know if you'll get into this or not today or tomorrow, but with the example that you just gave, your emergency is not my crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
I work for a large corporation, and a lot of times we'll get things that the leadership has known about for quite a while that has to be done, and we get it, with very short notice and told to go solve the problem. Mm-hmm. And we don't really have an option of saying, sorry, can't help you.
Right.
You can say, you know, sorry, we're too busy. Mm-hmm. What, do you want us to stop doing this and start working on this? Mm-hmm. So I'd be interested in hearing anything you have to say about, mm-hmm. you know, employment setting. How do you deal with mm-hmm. your bosses when they bring emergencies to you that they could have done a better job of planning
yes.
and helping us to better deal with them?
Yeah, thank you. And actually, when I think of this, I think of work, first and foremost. And I used to work at a church where people would bring me last-minute stuff all the time, so I resonate with that. And that is tricky, because depending on your relationship with your bosses or your supervisors or higher-ups, there may be some relationships where it is safe and appropriate to, you know, you don't just say, like, well, I can't do this, but at some point, sitting down and saying, like, hey, I've noticed that this happens, and that, you know, we'll get this order that we need to work on this project and finish it, but you've known about it for a while, but we're just getting it, and then, you know, that's pretty stressful, and I feel like I don't do my best work, and, you know, you can paint it so it sounds super, like, I just want to be the best employee I can be, and, you know. You can paint that. So it depends. If you have the kind of boss who could be receptive to that, if you do it kindly, and tomorrow we're going to talk about assertive communication, and that's a way that we set boundaries, and it's not intense, it's not aggressive, but that would be assertive communication with your boss of, like, hey, this is just what's been happening, this is how it affects me, and, you know, if we could shift some things so that we're not getting these assignments so last minute, I think it'll be better for everyone. You know, that's assertive, and it's stating what you need, and you're not blaming anyone. But I don't know about all of your work situations. You might have a boss who's just kind of like, no, tough, deal with it. And that's really unfortunate. So in that case, again, we're responsible for our own decisions. So that then we might weigh, well, how stressful is this? Am I, knowing that this is kind of how it's going to be, am I okay staying here? And of course, that's not that easy, because maybe you have your benefits, you have your family you need to provide for. So I'm not saying just leave. It's annoying. Just leave. I know. We're adults. We don't get to just do that. But it might be something where we have to adjust our expectations and decide, well, if I'm going to stay here, even though I'm not okay with this, how can I, you know, think about it and organize my inner world so that I can deal? Or do I want to start, you know, if your boss is just totally not respecting the level of stress that this causes you, and that it's actually not a good way to run the corporation or the company, you know, you might just choose to stay and be like, well, and that's how that is, and I'm going to find a way to make it sustainable. Or you might be like, well, I'll stay here as long as I can, but then I might look elsewhere. Because sometimes we'll set boundaries with people, and they don't want to do that, and they're not going to be receptive, and that's reality. And so we do have the choice to not stay in relationship with those people, but again, there's also other implications. So I hope you're not hearing, well, if they're not open, just leave your job. Like, no. but that's kind of my general answer. And thank you for bringing that up, because I think that is really real. Ideally, we'd all work for people who were open and receptive to that feedback, because I think that's a healthy work environment. But if you work in an environment where there isn't that openness, then you might have to, that might be a little harder. So I think I saw your hand, sir.
You've gotten my logic to a certain point now on two examples. It's okay to say no, 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 mm-hmm. which we can do.
Uh-huh.
It's okay to say, this is your problem. I'm no longer helping. Don't enable. But what's the next step? Mm-hmm. I had a person thrown into my life who was a teenage drug addict. Mm-hmm. Not all with us. You know, there's a partial reality. The next step is severing relationship. Mm. And the kid's trying to be a Christian. Mm. Well, you know what I mean. He's going to church. He loves people. I love him. But I can't help him anymore.
Right.
I'm unable to help him.
Yeah.
What's the next step other than, I love you so much, I don't want to see you anymore?
Yeah.
That's not my choice.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And I like feel my heart squeeze as you're saying that. And And just to share with you guys, and I usually do a lot of self-disclosure, I come from an alcoholic family. Both my dad and sister are recovering alcoholics. And the concept that I had to learn was that loving detachment, which is what you're talking about, to where you still love them, but you detach yourself so that you're not enabling their addiction or their drug-seeking behaviors. And this is true even if it's not with addiction, just anything, any destructive patterns or lifestyles. So the next step, and again, we remember that boundaries aren't steel walls, right? So it may be for now, there's been loss of trust because maybe he said, oh yeah, I'm doing this, but then you found out that all this was happening. So maybe there's broken trust and that's real.
Well,
so,
let me make it clear, okay. The drugs are gone.
Oh, that's good.
He's on the right road now. He's a good Christian.
Oh, good.
He's raising a family with kids, goes to church.
Awesome.
Everything's good.
Okay.
But I cannot help him. I simply cannot help him. And I'm frustrated.
Like you can't help him because he doesn't need it anymore?
No.
With what he needs, you can't give him.
Any kind of help. Mm. He doesn't take in practical solutions.
Yeah.
They just don't get absorbed.
Uh-huh. So he's not as...
He wants to buy a house with a 490, score.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does he want to get a loan on that house, he wants to borrow $20,000 additional mm-hmm. to put in his children's college fund.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that's going to happen. I mean, there's just no logic there.
Right. How do you think that's going to play out if you just kind of step back and he tries to pursue that?
It's not going to happen.
Exactly. He will learn, right?
Yeah, he will learn.
He will or he won't, and that's you're not responsible for that, right?
I'm not responsible,
yeah.
But I'm frustrated that I can't help him.
Yeah.
I spent 3 years trying to help him,
mm-hmm.
and I've come to the conclusion that I'm unable to help him.
Yeah. So I really appreciate you being honest because I hear a lot of and this is where it can get so hard, and this is where I'm not just going to focus on you because I think all of us resonate. Accepting our powerlessness is a very challenging and painful thing to do,
well,
and
I
hear that.
Free,
I see that, and I say amen, my brother. yes, which most of us have a little bit of that, and as Christians, because again, we're taught we're supposed to help. So for you, sir, I'm hearing that you have helped this man in a lot of ways, and that you feel this, and you love him, so it sounds like you want him to get it, because you believe that you know what's going to be best for him, but he's not taking it, and I often tell people, like, you can hold something out to someone, but they have to choose if they want to take it or not, and it is so painful when they don't, when you know that it's going to be good for them. So my first reaction, and of course, I know there's so much more, is it sounds like that's a situation where you need to, like, really, like, just lean into that feeling of, I can't help him, and what's next? And it sounds like that might just be where you know, like, I can tell him this stuff, and he's going to choose to take it or not. And, you have to decide what you're okay with and what you're not okay with, but it might be, I will be here if and when it does blow up in his face, and he does get some insight, and he wants to come back and talk, I will be here. And also, please don't underestimate the power of just being a secure presence in someone's life. Just him knowing that you're there, that is such a gift. So please don't downplay that. And just to be honest, I feel that as a therapist, I have clients where I'm like, if you would just do this, your life would get better, but I cannot make them. And I'm actually not in the business of giving advice because a lot of times if people don't really want advice, it just... but it's so hard for me. But don't underestimate the power of being a loving, consistent presence in someone's life. So one, I'd want to encourage you with that, you're probably a very important, helpful person in his life. And just knowing you're there is such a gift to him and is a help.
That's way too simple.
I know, right? I know. Why you gotta make it so hard on yourself? And of course, I know that it's much more complicated, but I want to validate those feelings and how difficult it is to accept that I can't help them anymore. But I think that's very common with boundaries is we want to do. Yeah, you want me to give you this perfect answer, right, of what I do next.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I don't think there is one. Or finding what are other ways that you can be helpful to him that may not be what you think is helpful. Maybe asking him, what would be helpful to you? Because a lot of times, again, we'll think we're being helpful, but the person we're helping doesn't perceive it that way. So a next step, if you need a next step, I'll give you one. You could ask him, like, you know, I still want to support you. What would be most helpful for you? And if you're okay with that, if he's like, I want to borrow $200,000, like, maybe not that. Like, you don't have to say yes to that. But he might say, like, oh, could you help me look for a house? Like, would you come with me to look at this house? Because you know more about this than I do. If you're willing to do that, great. So it also might be adjusting what we think is best for them. And again, you want to respect him and allow him to take responsibility for his life. And
I, the 490 credit score,
I know.
Wasting the time.
I know. I know.
And then the other thing you said, that you're the only friend I have left. Of the few people that I've made friends with, mm-hmm. they ignore me. He's annoying. He's absolutely annoying.
Okay.
So that way.
Yeah. But so he's aware of that. So again.
But he doesn't know why. Yeah. He doesn't understand why.
Okay. He may or may not, and he's not here, so we don't know. But, you know, my short answer is, yeah, that you can give him wisdom and guidance. He has to choose to take it. And I would invite you and everyone who's resonating with this situation, because I'm pretty sure you're not the only one who's been in a situation like this, is in that powerlessness. And for me, and tomorrow I'll get into this more, but I would pray the Serenity Prayer that was all about, you know, what is mine to take on, what is not. And that really helped me to commit those people to God. And it was a hard process and something I had to do regularly. But even just saying, like, God, I don't know how to help this person. I'm very worried for them, but it's out of my power. Please protect them. Please open their minds to you. Because if we believe that God is who he says he is, you know, he will work, right? But it's so hard to fully, when it's like something real, it's a lot harder, right? It's like, oh yeah, God is good when it's like general, but then when it's a specific situation, it's like, yeah, God, I totally trust you with this. I trust you, but I don't want to give it up to you. So, I mean, that's a very, you know, there's a lot going on in that situation, but yeah, I think acknowledging the pain of feeling our powerlessness is important, and that's very real, and I don't want to just, there is no quick answer for that. It's,
so is that
it's a process. You got some people who are like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I...
Feeling powerless is yeah. So very, very common, and I think yeah. That's why a lot of us, you know, resonate.
Yeah.
When you're in situations, you want to know how to deal with it, and you
can't. Yeah.
If you can't, what do you do when you're powerless?
Yes.
But sometimes learning to just let go a little bit, you know, stand back a little bit, and say, it's hard, but sometimes you just have to let it go.
Yeah. And you give it to God.
There is a little bit of another problem, and that is usually the person who is asking you for something has mastered the art of making you feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And they use it as a very nice tool to manipulate you to do what they mm-hmm. want you to do.
Yeah, and that's a whole other, but you're hitting the nail on the head. And I love that you're all just like, yes, I feel this. And I notice we're almost out of time, but I usually do like to close. And I hope that many of you who are still like, but how do I do this? That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And we technically have 5 more minutes. So I want to end with this song that really sums up what we talked about. But if you do need to slip out to get your children, or you're just like, I need to go to the bathroom, or you're just like, I'm good, feel free to slip out. You know, I give you permission to take care of yourselves. And I appreciate you guys asking questions and sharing. And I'll also be up here after for a bit to chat a little further. I can't chat for super long because I do have to get to clients this afternoon, but I like to play this song. It's by Ed Sheeran, and it's called Save Myself. And the words are actually going to be on the screen too, so just go ahead and take this in and see if you notice any boundary issues here.
I gave all my oxygen to people that could breathe. I gave away my money and now we don't even speak. I drove miles and miles, would you do the same for me? Honestly. Offered up my shoulder just for you to cry. Gave you constant shelter and a bed to keep you warm. They gave me the heartache, and in return I gave a song. It goes on and on. I can get you down, so I just numb the way it feels. Or drown it with a drink, an out-of-date prescription. And all the ones that love me, they just left me on the shelf. And farewell. So before I say someone else, I've got to save myself. I gave you all my energy and I took away your pain. As human beings are destined to radiate. What line do we stand upon? Cause from here it looks the same. And only scars remain. I can get you down, so I just numb the way it feels. I'll drown it with a drink and out-of-date prescription pill. And all the ones that love me, they just left me on the shelf. Farewell. So before I say someone else, I've got to save myself. And if I don't, then I'll go back to where I'm rescuing a stranger just because they needed saving just like that.
It's very self-aware. That's all we needed, right? I could have just said nothing and played that song. So tomorrow we will talk more, okay, so how do we do this? How do we become aware of what we're okay with, what we're not okay with, and what we can and can't do? So we're gonna talk more about that tomorrow. But thank you for being here and being engaged. And yeah, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day.